Hello and welcome to End Credits here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm your host, Adam A. Donaldson. And Merry Christmas Eve. And I am kind of here just holding down the fort until we can do next week's year-end show. And because it's, you know, it's been a year, I'm been, you know, doing the show a lot more sort of, you know, I have the others come in, we do a bit of a longer review, but that's all via Skype, and then I do like the first 15, 16 minutes of the show by myself. And now we have expanded that again to be taking on a whole show by myself, although it is going to be mostly music, so you will not have to listen to me talk the whole time, which has got to be nice for you. Anyway, End Credits is a local movie show for local movie fans. We are here every Wednesday at 3 p.m. to talk the latest in pop culture and review the newest movies. But this week, though, we're going to do a musical show. It's going to pour a 40 out for a show that unfortunately hasn't been on the air for much of the last year, Silver Screen Dream Machine, which is a show that used to play music from the movies and have some movie talk in it. I guess it was kind of although it started years before End Credits, it was kind of a companion show in that we were both shows about movies and loving movies. So, I mean, in lieu of being able to do really our usual, one of our two usual year-end shows, which is the top three, our top three worst films of the year, and our top three movies that we're looking forward to in the new year. Because, you know, we really didn't see anything that was terrible this year, because we mostly saw things we wanted to see. And then, you know, because sometimes the things you want to see don't turn out that great, but still, it's not like if you go and see something blind and it turns out to be horrible, or you're seeing something because it is the new release that week and it turns out to be horrible. So we don't really have that top three worst kind of thing going on for us this year. And then top three looking forward to next year? Well, I mean, is there going to be a next year? I mean, we hope so. You know, the vaccines are rolling out, of course. But, you know, who knows what next year will look like in the end. So, in lieu of that, this first Christmas special, our first year-end special, is going to be dedicated to Christmas music from the movies. And so we're going to start off with something unusual, which is a 2017 film called Anna and the Apocalypse, which is a zombie apocalypse musical romantic comedy that is set at Christmas. And it's set in Scotland, and almost all the characters are Scotland, or are Scottish. It was directed by John McPhail, but it was based on a small short film by a man named Ryan McHenry, who unfortunately died of cancer. Ryan McHenry became very well known for this Vine channel where he tried to feed cereal to the TV image of Ryan Gosling, and Ryan Gosling would turn away right before Ryan McHenry would get him to hold the cereal, the spoonful of cereal, up to the screen. It was a thing 10 years ago. but Ryan McHenry is also a very talented writer and actor and singer and songwriter, and he came up with this thing called Anna and the Apocalypse, which came out in 2017, sadly after Ryan McHenry died. But this is the first song from that, which is called Turning My Life Around, which is, you know, Anna and the male lead, John. They are both feeling upbeat. They're both getting out there. They're very excited about what the new day holds. What they don't notice around them, though, is that there's a zombie apocalypse happening. There's smoke on the horizon. There's people running and screaming from zombies in the streets. And they're just having a really great day. And I feel like this will set a tone. This will set a general tone for the hour, and for the year that we've had, that, you know, it's felt like we, that at times we want to go running out and screaming in the streets, but we need to stay positive. So here is Turning My Life Around from Anna and the Apocalypse. For number nine, an oldie but a goldie, a new take on a classic, I should say, because it's going to be performed by the Misfits, who are really, as a band, take this great pleasure in doing these hard rock remixes of, you know, classic tunes from the 50s and 60s. It seems to be their jam. This song is "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," which you hear on the radio all the time at Christmas. Maybe not the Misfits version, but you hear the classic one from the Chuck Jones produced, Boris Karloff narrated Christmas special that was first released in 1966. Chuck Jones, of course, was the man who was basically the godfather for the Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, and all that. Boris Karloff was the man famous for playing Frankenstein, the Mummy, and various other creatures. What's interesting, though, is a lot of people think that Boris Karloff sang the original song. He did not. Thurl Ravenscroft actually sang the "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch" song in the original animated special. A lot of people think it's Boris Karloff, though, because Ravenscroft goes on uncredited in the credits. You don't see his name anywhere. So a lot of people, because of the deep baritone and the fact that Boris Karloff is the voice of the Grinch in it as well, a lot of people think it's Karloff. It's not. It's this man named Thule Ravenscroft, who was a singer and a songwriter in his own right, a performer. He also was the voice of Tony the Tiger. He was the original voice of Tony the Tiger. So that is interesting, that you have this kind of this crass commercialized crossover in the middle of this anti-consumerist message and how the Grinch stole Christmas. Written originally by Dr. Seuss in 1957. The song "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch" made it as high as 49 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it won a Grammy for the best children's song that year in 1967. One of the reasons why the song was included in the special in the first place was because it padded the special. The original "How the Grinch Stole Christmas" is, you know, not that long a book. So, you know, think about how you would pad that out in a 25-minute TV special. That was kind of the whole point. And now it's so closely associated with special. There's a "How You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch" musical number in both the live-action 2000 Grinch movie by Ron Howard and then the animated remake that was released in 2017 that featured the voice of Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch. So, The Misfits, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as ugly as Cactus, as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have turned my tin to your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Between the two of you, I pick the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, lusty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed, your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three best words that best describe you: stink, stink, stunk, stink, stink, stunk, stink, stink, stunk.
That brings us to number 8. And it's another golden oldie, White Christmas. We're going to play a version that was sung by Otis Redding. But the funny thing about White Christmas is it was not written for the movie White Christmas, which came out in 1954. It was written for a movie called Holiday Inn, which came out in 1942. Although it also starred Bing Crosby, who had also starred in White Christmas. And then years later, Irving Berlin came upon the idea of, like, hey, remember that White Christmas song that everybody loved? Actually, Irving Berlin thought it was the best song he ever did, and maybe beyond the best song he ever did, but the best song anyone would ever do. I will leave that to the fates to decide. It won the Oscar for Best Original Song in 1942 as part of this movie called Holiday Inn. And then Berlin had the great idea, like, we're going to make a White Christmas movie where it is basically, it builds up to the end with the singing of White Christmas, because the whole concept of White Christmas is that Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby meet up with these two sisters, played by Vera Allen and Rosemary Clooney, and they're on the train to Connecticut to enjoy some snow and some fun in the snow at Christmas time, and they get there and there's no snow. good old mirth making. Anyway, funny bit of trivia about White Christmas is that Bing Crosby was asked later in life about his feelings on this song, which is so closely associated with him, even though it sold 50 million copies and it's been covered by God knows how many bands. But he was asked about White Christmas, and he said the most emotional time he performed the song was he was with a USO show that performed White Christmas to GIs in northern France in December 1944, and it was just a couple of days before the Battle of the Bulge, the last great German offensive in World War II. And of course, a lot of those GIs who were in the audience in December 1944 to hear him perform White Christmas ended up being killed in action. So, very soulful song that, you know, with a hopeful tone, but at the same time, kind of a depressing history too, in some respects. So let's listen to Otis lay down the track.
Yeah. I'm dreaming, dreaming of a white, white Christmas. You're just like the one that I used to know. Honey, it's where the treetops glisten. Little bitty children, they're trying to listen to hear for the sleigh bells that are ringing in the snow. I wanna tell you one more time what I'm thinking about. I dreaming of a white Christmas, yeah. We're there for a Christmas card that I'm writing. I want you to know, May old day, it's so merry, merry and bright. Oh, darling, I wished all of them one more thing, and may all of your Christmases, and may all.
So our next song is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I selected the Alice Cooper cover because why not have Alice Cooper on at Christmas time? Even Alice Cooper does a Christmas album. Anyway, so Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It was written in 1934. It was performed on the radio, and it was released on as a single shortly thereafter. It comes out in the middle of the Depression, when obviously there's not a lot to be particularly thankful for at a Christmas time. A lot of people out of work, a lot of people homeless. Not entirely dissimilar to what's going on right now with the pandemic. So it's upbeat, and it's fun, and you know, Santa Claus is coming. It's great. So, I mean, this song also has a long history of being played and replayed. They even built a Christmas special around it, a Rankin and Bass Christmas special. And you may not know the name Rankin and Bass, but you certainly know their work when it comes to Christmas time. They made Rudolph, and they made The Little Drummer Boy as well. So, in 1970, which is kind of like the completion of their sort of Christmas trilogy in the 60s, they made a TV special called Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which was basically the prequel to Rudolph, because it's about Santa's origins. Fred Astaire, the great Hollywood song and dance man, was the voice of Santa, young ginger Santa, I should say, in that film, or in that Christmas special, I should say. I included this because Santa Claus is Coming to Town is kind of the climactic song in the 2003 movie Elf, which I think a lot of people might agree maybe the last great Christmas classic. The last time like a movie came out and became like a Christmas classic, like in the rotation every Christmas. It's hard to think of another movie that has come out since then that will own that classic status, like alongside of, you know, Christmas Vacation and Christmas Story and Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life and all of those. So in Elf, as you may remember, Santa's sled crashes, the engine is broke. Santa's sled's been using an engine for years because the Christmas spirit just isn't there anymore. And it is up to Buddy the Elf to try and save the day and get the engine fixed so that the sled can take off again. Buddy the Elf is no Scotty. Let's just say that. I don't mean Scotty Hertz. I mean Scotty from Star Trek. But the scene ends up with this elf, not this elf, but she's works as an elf at the department store at Gimbel's, played by Zooey Deschanel, who's become Buddy's love interest. She leads the crowd in a rousing rendition of Santa Claus is Coming to Town to get the Christmas spirit up so that the sleigh can take off again. Would people be as similarly stirred by Alice Cooper? I don't know, but let's find out.
S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-W-S. Santa Claus. You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, he's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. So be good for goodness sake. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, your town. He knows where you live, he knows that your window's open, he knows what lives under your bed.
So that brings us to something I wasn't necessarily going to fit in with any particular movie, but it is from, let's call it the CanCon portion of the show. On the 1981 album, comedy album, The Great White North, Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis, who play the Canadian brothers, Bob and Doug McKenzie, do this rendition of The 12 Days of Christmas. Much in keeping with a lot of the McKenzie brother gags on SCTV, it was largely improvised. If you know the history of SCTV, it moved around a lot on Canadian channels, but it was syndicated in the United States, and because there were more commercials on American syndicated TV than there were on the CBC. CBC demanded that the producers of SCTV come up with a couple of two extra minutes of content for each episode. They also asked that it be like sort of explicitly Canadian. So Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis are told this, and they come up with Bob and Doug McKenzie, and they basically get dressed up, they decorate the set, and then they come and they just start firing off these two-minute segments of The Great White North Canadian Corner, where they just kind of riff off each other in these personas. So, I mean, talk about, you know, you want to be the best scriptwriter in the world. Sometimes it just pays to be the best improviser in the world, because then you create a character that's like so indelible, and you put like 15 minutes of work into the entire process, and people are still talking about it 40 years later. So let's have a listen to Bob and Doug.
Okay, now this is our Christmas song, in case you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas.
There's lots of ideas in here, so listen and don't get stuck.
Okay.
By the way, that's me on the organ.
Oh, Jesus.
You start.
Okay. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtlenecks
and a beer.
Okay, good.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French toast,
two turtlenecks
and a beer.
Okay, that should be more there. Fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 pounds of back bacon,
3 French toast,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
See,
more.
The fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden toques,
4 pounds of back bacon,
3 French toast,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
Okay, on the sixth, 2 golden.
Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 packs of 2 4.
5 golden toques.
4 pounds of back bacon.
3 French toast.
2 turtlenecks.
And a beer
in a tree.
Okay. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 packs of smoke.
Nice gift. Oh, 6 packs of 2 4.
5 golden toques.
4 pounds of back bacon.
3 French toast.
2 turtlenecks.
And a beer
in a tree. This should just be the 2 days of Christmas. It's too hard for us. Go, Hoser.
Oh, eighth day of Christmas, true love gave to me
8 comic books.
7 packs of smokes. 6 packs of 2 4.
5 golden toes. 4 pints of 3 French toes.
2 turtlenecks. And a beer. Yeah, that beer is empty. Okay, day 12.
Good day, and welcome to day 12.
Yeah.
5 golden toques,
4 pounds of bacon,
3 French toasts,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer in a tree.
Where did you learn to do that?
Albums.
Of course. So, like, that's our song. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And good day.
Good day.
All right, so that was Bob and Doug McKenzie, and this seems like a good time to take a break from the Christmas list. I was trying to think of, like, could we be a bit more culturally diverse in some of the Christmas song offerings? I know that's kind of counterintuitive, but then I remembered, in 1994, on Saturday Night Live, Adam Sandler introduced the world to the Hanukkah song, a celebration of Jewishness and people you may know, celebrities, who are also Jewish, to help that kid who maybe feel alone at Christmas time because he's a Jewish kid celebrating Hanukkah instead. The message is he has some pretty great company. And so Adam Sandler released the song. It became part of one of his comedy albums too. And then he would later use it as the basis for this animated film from his Happy Madison production company called 8 Crazy Nights. 8 Crazy Nights being a line in the song. Some point along the way, Neil Diamond said, I'm going to put that on my next Christmas album. So here is Neil Diamond doing the Hanukkah song. You are listening to End Credits here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus, and Community Radio.
There are so many beautiful Christmas songs around and so few Hanukkah songs. So I thought we'd try this one for you.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah, yeah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents,
We have a crazy night. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn is too. Put them both together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't have to deck the halls with jingle bell rock, 'cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. Both Jewish, put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew, but guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. We got Ann Landers and her sister dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is, well, he's not, but guess who is? All Three Stooges. So many Jews are on my list. Tom Cruise isn't, but Jesus Christ is. Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah.
I wanted this to be professional. Efficient, adult, cooperative, not a lot to ask. Alas, your Mr. Takagi did not see it that way, so he won't be joining us for the rest of his life. We can go anywhere you want. You can walk out of here or be carried out. But have no illusions. We are in charge. So, decide now, each of you. And please remember, we have left nothing to chance. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
And we're back. And we're back with the top five of our movie Christmas song list. I don't even know what to call this. I mean, It you know, when I started jotting down notes for this, it seemed to make sense. And but now that I'm actually performing it here, a couple of days before Christmas, whatever. So picking up where we left off at number five, I have Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, which I chose because it is the end credit song for the first two Die Hard movies. Interestingly, because Die Hard 1 takes place in Los Angeles. There is no snow. Die Hard 2 takes place in Washington, D.C. in a snowstorm. So, it is very pertinent. Even though at the end of Die Hard 2, the snowstorm is over. But, in Die Hard 1, because it's in L.A., no snow. And, I mean, it is interesting when you think about the origins of the song, which were written by Sammy Kalm and Jewel Sinn. They wrote it in the summer in 1945 during one of the worst heat waves in California. And I guess they were sitting around thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great if we could just cool down? and then thusly they came up with Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. These guys, Let It Snow is probably their most famous song. Sinn wrote Broadway musicals. He wrote Gypsy, Funny Girl, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Kalm wrote a lot for the Rat Pack. So, I mean, these guys knew their musical bits, but I mean, probably just you generally don't hear their stuff on oldies radio is what I'm trying to get at. Vaughn Monroe, who sang the song, and perhaps most famously sang the song. He was a well-known singer, band leader, trumpeter. He was also a well-known businessman, and this is probably his biggest hit. So let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm.
But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
So next on our list is Jingle Bell Rock. It is the song that opens Lethal Weapon, which is another unconventional Christmas movie, although it became a signature of then-screenwriter, now-screenwriter-director Shane Black to set his movies at Christmas time. He did it with Lethal Weapon. He would do it later with the Long Kiss Goodnight, with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, even with Iron Man 3. And then the prologue in The Nice Guys takes place at Christmas time. I think half the reason why The Predator failed is because it wasn't set at Christmas time. That may just be me, though. The original Jingle Bell Rock was recorded in 1957, and it's one of the, I don't know where it is in the mix in terms of like the first songs that feature electric guitar, probably pretty far down the list, but in terms of like Christmas music, one of the first ones to, I would bet my lunch on it. It's one of the first to feature electric guitar rather prominently, along with like the usual bells and things. And it's interesting, if you go back and watch Lethal Weapon and you see the beginning of Lethal Weapon, the scene where Amanda climbs up on the balcony and contemplates going over, you can hear the sleigh bells in the soundtrack. Even though it's funny because Lethal Weapon starts off with this horrible way with this person seemingly jumping off a balcony. But, you know, the film opens with this pan across the Los Angeles skyline to Jingle Bell Rock, and it makes you feel a little good. And then it gets into this really sad crime, and then it gets right into this circumstance of this crazy person who, you know, and Mel Gibson's recent personal history probably reflects badly in retrospect, but you know, this person who's also suffering because of the death of his wife. Anyway, there's something weirdly cynical when you think about Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, both set at Christmas time. Here we are in the 80s, the peak of consumerism, consumerist society run amok, the era of the mall to supremacy in the retail landscape. And here we have like the two most cynical Christmas movies ever made in the form of Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. But anyway, let's let Bobby Helms tell the story with Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun.
guns. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air. What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square.
Gliding in the one horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell rock.
So we're going to bring it down a notch now. It's not necessarily a Christmas song, but it is featured in one of my favorite Christmas movies, which is the 1951 British version of A Christmas Carol, starring Alistair Sim. This song, Barbara Allen, is this probably the most famous version of it, although it's a well-known traditional folk song. This version is sung by Joan Baez. It was on her second album ever, Joan Baez Volume 2, which I guess is a follow-up to Joan Baez, Volume 1. And it came out in 1961. The song Barbara Allen, as I said, it's a traditional folk song, and it's about this woman who basically rejects this guy on her deathbed, on his deathbed, because he rejected her before. And she ends up feeling bad about that, and then dies herself from sort of shame and regret, and is buried next to that boy in the cemetery. And I mean, there's a lot of symbolism there. And then in A Christmas Carol, the song is being sung at Fred's house. Him and his new wife have guests over for Christmas, and they're standing around the piano singing the song. And Ebenezer Scrooge comes in, and this is after he's visited by the ghost, so he's the changed man. Of course, because the song is filled with regret, it's very pointed, because at this point, Ebenezer Scrooge himself is full of regret. He's gone into the past, and he saw that his sister's last wish on her deathbed was that Ebenezer would raise her son and be a part of his life. Even though she died, and of course, the exact opposite happened. Ebenezer Scrooge utterly refused to be a part of Fred's life, and you know, refused to acknowledge his marriage to this woman who Scrooge considered was below their station. Of course, Scrooge was also living through like a bit of revictimization himself, because his mother died in a similar circumstances, giving birth to him, and his father blamed Ebenezer Scrooge for the death of his mother and his father's wife. And of course, he was just sort of repeating that cycle. And then at the end of the movie, visiting Fred and his wife in their home for Christmas, the cycle is broken. It's a very sweet song. It's a very tender song. And Bob Dylan said he wouldn't have a career without it. So here is Barbara Allen and Joan Baez.
'Twas in the merry month of May, when green buds all were swelling, sweet William on his deathbed lay for love of Bob. Thank you. dear, if your name be Barbary Allen, and slowly, slowly she got up, and slowly she drew nigh him, and the only words to him did say, young man, I think you're dying. He turned his face into the wall, and death was in him welling. Goodbye, goodbye to my friends all. Be good to Barbary Allen. When he was dead and laid in grave, she heard the death bells knelling, and every stroke to her did say, hard-hearted Barbary Allen. Oh, mother, go dig my grave and make it long and narrow. Sweet William died of love for me.
Keeping up with the saddish themes, we're coming here to the end. This is number two. It is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which is prominent in a couple of different Christmas movies. It was written in 1942 for Meet Me in St. Louis, and then it's featured in Home Alone as well. In the 1942 film, Judy Garland sings it. She sings it for her character Esther, for her younger sister Tootie. The family is contemplating a move to New York, but they are from St. Louis, Missouri. They love that town. It represents a huge move for them, and because they're concerned about that and what that means for the family and all the people they're leaving behind in St. Louis, the life they're leaving behind in St. Louis, it's kind of a, you know, next year will be better. You know, right now we're dealing with this thing and we're trying to get through it, and next year we will feel a bit better about Christmas time and being together again. Interestingly, I mean, there was some friction on set because Hugh Martin, who wrote the song, matter of some disagreement, Hugh Martin said he wrote the thing all by himself, and that Ralph Blaine kind of stole co-credit on it. But apparently there was some conflict on set because the lyrics were actually initially much more depressing, and both Judy Garland and the director Vicente Minnelli both went to the songwriters and said, you know, can we pep this up a bit, maybe not make it so sad. And this is the end result. This version is sung by Mel Torme, and I could go on and on about Mel Torme and his litany of appearances on Night Court over the years, but I won't. Let's just run the song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Seems appropriate.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, your troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Loving friends who are dear to us, will be near to us once more. From now on, we all will be together if the fates allow. But till then, we'll have to muddle through somehow.
Things up. This is not just a Christmas song. It is, it's actually not just a New Year song, although we do associate it so much with the New Year. "Auld Lang Syne," which many of us would be hard pressed to remember the lines to, aside from maybe the first two lines. A bit of a weird history with this, because it's often attributed to Robbie Burns. However, did Robbie Burns write it, or did Robbie Burns kind of like write it down? Because he apparently got it from this old man. It's this old kind of folk poem that was put to the tune of this older folk song. It's kind of like this Frankenstein monster of a folk song. Like, it was passed down through the ages, but it really kind of wasn't. And like Robbie Burns and others kind of turned it into this tradition, this thing that we always sing every New Year when it's time to say goodbye. Like in earlier this year, when the European Union Parliament saluted the withdrawal of the United Kingdom because of Brexit, they sang "Auld Lang Syne." It's fairly closely associated, of course, with "It's a Wonderful Life," because at the end they sing it in tribute to George Bailey, whom his brother calls the richest man in town. "It's a Wonderful Life," not really a Christmas movie itself, and I believe it was released in the summer in 1947. I don't believe it was released at Christmas, but it's one of those films that, because it's on every Christmas, was sort of reclaimed and turned into a holiday classic. It was technically a box office bomb when it came out. It was Frank Capra's like first big movie back from the war, and it bombed, and only to be reclaimed sort of later. And now we consider it a classic. So let's toast George Bailey, "Auld Lang Syne," and of course, because it's Christmas, we gotta have Bing Crosby. So we'll let Bing Crosby take it away.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind, should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne. Take a cup of kindness, yeah.
That is the end of our top 10 list. Thank you, Bing. Thank you, everybody. Merry Christmas to one and all. And if you'd like to listen to this show again, maybe play it on Christmas Day, you can certainly do that. You can find us on our website, endcreditsradioshow.com. You can download the episode from the Guelph Politicast channel every Friday on Podbean through your favorite podcast app at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. And I do normally make reference to End Credits Spotify playlist, which you can find End Credits on CFRU. But we do have a special playlist for this episode, End Credits Christmas. Look for that on Spotify and have a listen if you would like to revisit the music without me talking. It is in order. So maybe you care about that, maybe you don't. Anyway, we're on Facebook at End Credits Radio Show and on Twitter at End Credits Radio. I will be back tomorrow, Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. for News and Politics on Open Sources Guelph. I am on Twitter and Instagram at Adam A. Donaldson, or you can find my political site at guelphpolitico.ca, or you can read my writing about horror movies at Nightmare on Film Street at nofspodcast.com. Stay tuned for more great programming here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. We will be back next Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our Best of the Year special. And until then, ho ho ho, and Merry Christmas.